Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that'll get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go, this is it!
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney, so what?
Welcome along. It's the latest episode of The Crankies Odyssey. We're looking at the autobiography of The Crankies fan, Dabby Dozy. Our amazing true story. Well, we'll see just how amazing it is because we haven't really started the story yet. We're at chapter one. And it was where they talk about their childhoods. I'm not always that arsed about these sections of autobiographies where they talk about their upbringing and all this and what it was like and how many family members they had and all.
Yeah, who cares
stuff.
About that unless it's something that is... I'm only interested if it has something directly to do with what they later became.
Yeah.
How they contrive it in movies, right? So... if it was The Crankies, the movie, and one day, hopefully, they will do that.
Perhaps this series will be the blueprint for that movie.
Yeah, if a Hollywood studio buys this up, it would be great. And maybe we could get to go to Hollywood, like Clement and Lafrene went to Hollywood, didn't they? And
Matt
carved out a living there. Imagine fucking me and you
hell.
Sat by the pool fucking bashing out major Hollywood blockbusters. But I fancy being a right hack. I don't want to be like a respected writer.
No,
I want to be a hack who just gets loads of work.
Well, the thing with Clement and Lafrene was what they did was they punched up loads of scripts and they weren't even credited for them.
Yeah, we can punch shit up for you.
Yeah,
no problem.
They just sat around and added some gags into scripts that were already pretty much finished.
Round of course they did, mate.
In Hollywood.
We'll punch shit out. If you're a Hollywood fucking producer and you've got a script that you think it's almost there, but it's a bit flat. It lacks any pizzazz. It needs some fairy dust sprinkled over it. Who has said that? Was that the Trogs? What was that? Anyway.
The Trogs tips.
Yeah, yeah.
That's worth it.
We should deep dive those, yeah. Sprinkle some fucking fairy dust over it. Right? That's what we'll fucking do. Get us over there. We'll be over to LA in a fucking flash, mate, punching the shit out of your scripts.
I'm just checking. It's got to be on YouTube. If you've never heard the Trogs tapes, just go to YouTube and put in Trogs tapes.
What's his name again?
Reg Presley.
Yeah, that's it. Reg Presley. Put some fucking fairy dust on it.
Is it there? Yeah. Someone's done an animated version of it. The Trogs tapes, full extended 11-minute version. Very strong language. Reg Presley, of course, took the royalties from Wet Wet Wet's Love Is All Around getting to number one, which was a Trog song, and he spent the lot on investigating crop circles.
Fucking legend. We just need to do a deep dive on Reg Presley generally, I would say.
We're already getting diverted from The Crankies.
Yeah. Anyway, going back to The Crankies movie... if I was writing,
you've got to
just...
put it. There's the quote. There, you've got to put a little bit of fucking fairy dust over the bastard.
Yeah. If you want fairy dust on the Crankies movie, you'd want it to be like, oh, when I grew up, like you'd have Jeanette Cranky saying, you know, I grew up in a town where transvesticism was banned. It was illegal because it was a big church town. And it was a bit like the plot to Footloose, where there was a town that inexplicably banned all dancing, right? This was a town and where... so we had to go into the woods and hide from the village elders and dress up. And us girls used to dress up as schoolboys. And I got caught and the teacher said, Jeanette, no good will ever come of your life if you waste it dressing up as a schoolboy. And she said that, I looked back at her and I thought, I will make it my life's mission to prove you wrong. And then I would cut to 15 years later, a screen that just says 15 years later, white text on a black background.
Yeah.
And it would be them at a working man's club, just on their way, just on the cusp of stardom.
And they've been on that journey.
Yeah. So that's enough. In terms of childhood, that's just it. That's it. I remember Frank... Mm. Did you ever read Frank Skinner's autobiography? From about 2002.
No.
It was really good. And he sort of said at the beginning, whenever I read books like this by famous people, I just keep going, fucking hell, get to the bit where you're famous. He writes that like on the opening page. But I don't want to completely leave out my formative years. So what I'll do is I'll jump back and forth so you don't get too bored. And that worked quite well.
I like that method. Mm. Yeah. I usually just try and skim through the childhood bit and see if I can see anything interesting. So there's bits that it tells you where they lived. My father was a miner, blah, blah, blah. Mother worked in a munitions factory during the war. Lovely childhood. But of course, Jeanette is not the tallest lady in the world.
No.
She says, although I was 8 pounds when I was born, I was always small, even when I went to school, and became the smallest there. I always remember I was so small, my wee legs wouldn't reach the floor, even in the smallest primary one seats. And they took it to the doctors, and the doctors just said, when I was about 3, the doctor said I wasn't grown very much. Ah, she's not grown very much. How can you do? But back then, they just said, this is going to be a small one. As if there was nothing they could do about it.
There's not much we can do for that. Other than we can put her on the stretching rack if you want. But it's a bit dangerous. But it's worth a goal.
Do you know which former England goalkeeper used to use a stretching rack when he was younger?
Dave Besson.
No.
That's my
Is our nemesis England goalkeeper?
Schultz.
Shilton. He used to stretch himself. I think it was from the banister at the top of the stairs.
Well, he should have fucking done it a bit better. Then maybe he would have got to that fucking ball that midget Maradona managed to fucking out-jump him for.
Yeah, or any of those penalties in 1990.
Or that fucking ball that spun over his fucking head in 1990 as well. It spun off poor old Nosy Parker's ass. And spun over his head.
Shilton used to stretch himself. The school nurse sent her to hospital when she was 6. They did loads of tests and gave her a clean bill of health. She says, nowadays they would have given me growth hormones, but not in the 1950s. Do they do that to small children?
I've not heard of growth hormones for children.
Do they give them growth hormones?
No, I've never heard that in my life. She's making things. She's mental.
I think that's just wishful thinking on her part.
They'll just give you... They'll mix growth hormones into your morning porridge and you shoot up.
She says, there's no condition or anything to label me with. I'm just small. All the boys at school used to call me the giant.
Which was irony. Way before it became fashionable, by the way.
They'd say, oh, here's the giant coming. They weren't bullies, they were just cheeky, and I was never bullied at all. I actually kept growing until I was 16, just at about a third of the rate of everyone else, and stopped when I reached 4'5".
Mm.
Quite a nice height, 4'5", I suppose.
I've got a mate who... I better not say it. I'll say it, but you can tell me to stop it, because if it's politically incorrect... But I've got a mate who had it off with a small person. Small person.
You nearly said it there.
The way I'm looking at you to wait for guidance. I do that with my missus as well when I'm talking in front of the kids. I leave a pause and she instinctively knows the word I'm about to use. And I look at her and wait for her to fill the gap with the appropriate word that you're supposed to use.
Did there.
Yeah, I don't want to cause offence, but it's hard when you get to our age, isn't it? Especially if you're a bit of a fucking cunt, like, you know, both of us are.
Yeah,
it's hard.
Yeah.
People don't think enough about cunts. Do you know what I mean? We're the forgotten. Yeah. We're the forgotten. We're the silent majority.
If anything, right? We're the ones that are prejudiced against.
Yeah, that's right.
For some reason.
It's not our fault we're cunts. That's just the way we was raised. And now... Yeah. We're the ones who are being targeted and bullied.
Just because we don't even know we're being cunts half the time.
Yeah, that's the problem. So we were just raised like this. And the next thing you know, your kids are going, you can't say that. Oh, my God, I hate you, Dad. And it's like, well, I didn't know I was being a cunt. I mean, I'm willing to accept that I was, but...
Yeah, and I'll try and change.
No one tells me anything anymore. Anyway, yeah, but probably with that in mind, I'd probably better not tell my sex with a small person story.
Yeah. Yeah, probably for the best. I can't imagine how it's going to enhance this podcast.
I find short women very attractive. I'm not particularly keen on a taller woman.
How short do you mean? What kind of height?
Well, my missus is only like 5 foot two or something. 5 foot two and a half, maybe, something like that.
Right.
I think, I don't know, actually. Yeah, she's short. No. Anyway, you met my missus, she's pretty short. She's short.
She's not about my height. She's not extraordinarily short.
But I'm just
not like Jeanette Cranky.
No, she's not that short. I'm going to text her now how tall she is. Yeah, because she's.
Oh, it's a good
idea. I'm in the beta modular.
Okay. We can put this to bed once and for all.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll become Top Flight Time Machine canon.
Let's get to the bottom of this. How tall?
What are you putting?
You. How tall are you? I can see her. Let's see if she...
Are you watching her reply?
Oh, yeah.
Is she...
Yeah, she's seen it. I can see it. Her head twitched straight away when she received the text.
Have you got the little reply...
Is she typing?
...icon. She's typing.
5 foot two. I was fucking
five
right.
5 foot two. Well, this is like an episode of Mr. and Mrs. with Derek Beatty.
Yeah, fucking knew it. 5 foot two she is. Gorgeous. That's the height for me. 5 foot
That's
two.
That's your perfect height.
It's my perfect height, yeah.
Beautiful.
And I'm 6 foot two. Funny, isn't it? Whole foot between
us. Well, I mean, I'm 5 foot seven, so, I mean, a taller woman than that.
I can't believe you thought that my missus was your height. You've met her on more than one occasion. Yeah.
Yeah, but I wasn't putting heights in memory banks and things like that.
Don't you assess her? You assess people's spouses quickly. Delaney's wife. Let's assess her height. Roughly 5 foot two. I'll make a note of that.
Put that in the mental dossier.
I'll just quickly record that on my voice notes.
Yes, I'll join you for a drink in a moment, but I just need to update my memory. 5 foot two.
Small
people. I think there's a dispensation for the pantomime of Snow White. They still get to call them that word.
Oh, but we can't say it, yeah.
We can't say it, no. Only they can.
Yeah, that's
fair
enough.
If you go to the pantomime, you can't see it.
I've got no problem with that. If you're a new listener, don't think that we're the sort of people who go around going, of course you can't say that now.
No, we don't do that.
We don't. Yeah, we think anything you're not allowed to say anymore, we're right behind it. I think you shouldn't be allowed to say more things.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if we're around our kids, we kind of try and say as little as possible so that we don't end up in masses of trouble.
It was my daughter's first day back at school. And as soon as I was out, right, and as soon as I got in, I said to her straight away, how's your first day back at school? Right? How's your first day back at school? Mm. I really wanted to know. She said, first day in year 11. She told me, but I was pretty tired and spaced out when I first got in because I was hungry. And when I get hungry, I'm a little bit like, I space out a bit, right? And she was telling me, and I was listening and nodding, and she got the right amp with me. And I said, what's the problem? She went, you're not really paying enough attention.
You were listening wrong.
I was listening wrong. I get this with my daughter. I don't know if you get it, but it's like, funnily enough, I've never had that sort of stuff from my good wife. Right, she's pretty chill.
5 foot two.
She's 5 foot two and she is chill as fuck. So I'm lucky in both those respects. But my daughter makes up for it because she's like about 5 foot six. She's about 5 foot six. She might be pushing 5 foot seven. And she's constantly like, nothing's ever enough. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're listening, but to be honest, you're not really responding enough, and it's like you don't care. And then, but the thing is, on another day, if I had, like, responded or asked too many questions, then I'm like, mansplain. I say, oh, Dad, why can't you just listen? You don't have to have an opinion on everything. You don't have to say, you don't have to respond all the time. Like a typical man. Oh, it's all about you, isn't it? I'm like, okay, well, I'll just shut up and listen. Why are you just not saying anything? Why don't you care? I'm fucked, mate. I don't know what to
That's
tell
how
you.
It is. There's no point in trying to figure it out or make it better. It just is what it is.
Yeah.
So you've just got to just go with it.
Yeah, exactly.
When Jeanette was 7, she started dancing lessons. The classes were held in a little hut on the canal bank. It was 2 shillings for a tap lesson, or 2 and 6 for a ballet lesson. She did both.
Yeah, at that price, she might as well.
She did her first concert.
Makes economic sense.
Well, yeah, 2 shillings and two. What is 2 and 6?
No idea.
Okay.
I'll text my dad and ask him.
No, you're all right.
Okay.
She did her first concert at Kirkintilloch Town Hall at the age of 7, where she sang the song Bimbo. And the ironic thing is, she had to wear a little boy's outfit with a red cap, just like Jimmy Cranky would all those years
now this ago. Is what we're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
This is sort of what
film.
We were looking for, yeah.
Yeah. She says, as soon as I put on the outfit, I found it really easy to be a wee boy. Oh. No problems at all, which was amazing, because I wasn't a tomboy at all. I was a cute wee girlie.
Oh. Well, she was cute. We've seen the pictures, we've commented before. She's quite attractive. I really like her hairstyle when she was still... Yeah, like there's a picture of her on her wedding day.
Woman.
She's gorgeous, actually.
Yeah.
Jalapeño.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Jalapeño.
The only trouble at school was a teacher called Miss Hall who took them for typing. Typewriter was too high and she wouldn't give her a cushion to sit on. Instead, she made her take the drawer out of her desk, turn it upside down and sit on that. The underside of the drawer was just rough wood, so it would give me splinters in my legs. I said to her, Miss Hall, this drawer's giving me splinters in my legs. All she gave me was a yellow duster to put on top of it. I remember one day the drawer slipped off the seat and I went through the drawer and I got into a row for breaking it. So she's got a seat to sit on and then she's making a balance on the drawer on top of the seat. That's not fair.
Nah.
That's discrimination.
Yeah.
That's sackable now.
Oh, you'd never get away with it these days.
Like everyone else, I got belted at school, she says, which of course... was, you know, everybody did back then, I guess.
Yeah, I never did. It was over by the time I was at school. Yeah, no fucking hit me. I got pushed over by a teacher once.
Did you?
Actually, my dad, I don't know if he came in, but he wrote a stern letter and the teacher had to apologise to me. Because the cunt dislocated my fucking wrist.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
What did he push you over for?
Because I was fighting with another kid outside his lesson and he really fancied himself as a bit of a hard nut, this RE teacher, right?
RE.
Fuck off. Fucking RE.
That's
not a hard cunt subject, is it?
Of course it's not.
Like, the hardest fuckers. Obviously, you got.
Oh, you're teaching you about fucking Moses.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Yeah, had a nice fucking afternoon reading the Bible again, have you? Yeah, fuck you. Anyway, yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, PE, geography, the sciences, particularly chemistry and physics. Those are the hard teacher subjects, aren't they? The soft teacher subjects are RE, English literature. That's the right softy subject, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
They're never going to win in a tear up.
Nah, your hard subjects are your metalworks and your woodwork, stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. They're hard subjects. The men who wear brown coats when they're teaching.
I remember our first metalwork lesson when the teacher, he showed us the four different files that we could use to file metal with.
File, man.
And he took great delight in telling us that one of them was called a bastard file. You heard of the bastard file before, Sam?
I'm going to teach you, little cunts, about something called filecraft. What the fuck?
There it is.
Do any of you fucking fairies know about metal? Fuck all, I'd wager. But I tell you this, at the end of this term, you'll know enough. And you'll know the damage that a bit... You'll have first-hand knowledge of the damage metal can do to the human body.
Metalwork was great. Did you do metalwork?
No, I didn't do it. I did, like, we did something called CDT, which is called Graph Design Technology. And
that,
it was supposed
that,
to,
that came in about 1986 for us.
It was a mix of everything.
Yeah.
But I don't really remember much metal. There should have been metal involved, but it was mainly wood.
We had a fucking foundry.
Yeah, but you're in the industrial north. Like, knowing what to do with metal was more. It was just more important, and it was more in the blood.
Really important. You were either being trained to go and work in a bank if you were clever, or work on a shipyard or down the pit. What? So you needed to do your metal work.
I was school. They taught you much about metal today. Good.
Yeah, just three double lessons of metal. Yeah.
Have you had a
what
go?
What was
on
your
the,
other lessons?
Have you had a go on the bastard file yet, or what?
Yeah.
Because if you haven't, I'll be up that school.
One of the lads got hit in the fucking eye because he laughed when he said bastard file.
Good, good. Things are going well then. I knew it was a good school, that one.
Yeah, metal work. We had the fucking lathes and the what do you call it, the furnace. We had a fucking furnace.
Fuck off, you had a furnace?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, of course.
Mate, that's
you
amazing.
You can't do metal work without a furnace.
No, because you can't manipulate metal unless you fucking
you
heated
it
up, can you?
Till it's orange.
Yeah. Oh,
and
that
then you
must
put it over the...
But the amount of injuries there must have been. Because, like, schoolboys...
No,
schoolboys are going to... If you give schoolboys access to a fucking furnace, something bad's going to happen, isn't it?
Generally didn't. There was a kind of an understanding that this was proper shit.
The motto of your school was respect the furnace, but written in Latin.
Furnace. Yeah.
And the school badge was just a piece of metal.
Piece of bent metal. A fucking iron bar that had been bent in half.
And heated up. It was orange in the middle.
Yeah. So the bastard file, he told us the... obviously, it was like lesson one. We were all like 11. Yeah. Slightly intimidated by the new school. Majorly intimidated by the fact we were in this metalwork room with a furnace and everything.
Scary dude.
And he's going, it was actually, he wasn't scary. He was like quite avuncular.
Oh.
Sort of. It was an old fella, but he was avuncular.
Yeah.
And
he'd probably been in the war. That's where he got his metal learning.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. And he just took great delight in telling us that one of the files was called a bastard file. And we all sniggered.
He'll be dead now. He'll be dead now, probably, that
case.
He'll
be massively dead.
Shame,
yeah,
innit? I'd
be stunned if he's not. So, poor Jeanette got belted. You get belted for having a sweet, belted for yawning. They belted you for everything back then.
Oh, God, it must have been awful. Seriously, it must have been fucking awful to be at school back then. I mean, my dad and my mum, and I saw my uncle recently, and he was telling me, I mean, like, they went to schools with fucking priests, right? And I said to my uncle outright, I said, did they nonce you, right? And he just laughed, and the laugh was inscrutable, but it seemed to suggest it, like, as if I'd said, the bear shit in the woods. It was sort of like that. It's like, of course they fucking nonce me, what do you think? But you just talk casually about how they just used to beat him up every day.
Just beat
you for fun. And my mum went to school, and she was taught by nuns, and she would always be panicking, my mum, that like her, like, she'd always feel like under pressure because the nuns were fucking terrifying. And when she was under pressure, she would wet herself. And if she wet herself, the nuns would just beat her for it. Imagine wetting yourself and then getting beaten up by a nun for it in front of everyone.
That's going to fuck you up.
That was their education.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I think it's a lot different now, but Catholic schools back then were fucking brutal.
Yeah, they were.
I know people who slightly older than me that went to Catholic schools up here in the 60s and things like that. And, oh, yeah, brutality.
Yeah,
on a daily basis.
My parents, they both went to Catholic schools, right? And sometimes I think, you know, I'm sure a lot of people think this about parents. I love my parents to bits, but sometimes I think my parents are fucking, in their own completely different ways, off their fucking trolleys, right? They're both really weird people, right? With, like, serious fucking personality defects. But then I just think, yeah, but I mean, fuck's sake, no wonder. Do you know what I mean?
Of course.
No fucking wonder. I mean, you know, I never got fucking beaten up by a priest or a nun. I just went to school every day and had a bit of a laugh. Sometimes a fucking teacher would tell me off a bit for being cheeky, and I'd be like, yeah, I got told off. Right? But that was the extent of my fucking trauma at school.
Oh, you got pushed over that time.
Yeah, but yeah, exactly. Going back to Mr. Hudson, he pushed me over and I fell backwards and I put my arm out behind me and it bent my fucking hand right back and I was in a lot of pain and I did have to go to like A&E and have it strapped up. But that was it. My dad, I'm surprised he did write a letter because he must have thought, yeah, try getting fucking battered and a finger up your ass off a priest, you cunt.
Fucking hell.
By the way, I don't know if that's what happened to my dad, but I wouldn't be at all surprised. My uncle went to the same school and he was telling me about it. I know more about my uncle's education. He was a couple of years younger than my dad. And I know more about his childhood than my own dad's because he self-published an autobiography, right?
You've mentioned this before. I forgot.
I think he left school at like, those days they let you leave at like 14 or something.
Oh,
you
go 14, yeah.
You just
he go didn't fancy
that.
It. He just
so
stopped
he,
going.
He fucked off at 14. He told me about it the other day. He said the priest came round to his house and knocked on the door, and he was like, "Mrs. Delaney, we're here to say that Paul is a very evil and wicked boy, and we've had to beat him an awful lot of times this time, and
it gives us no pleasure
to beat him, so it doesn't. But we think it's for the best that he never comes back again." Right, or something like that. Or no, they didn't say that. They said he's a terrible boy, he's very wicked, and you need to come in and talk about it. And my scouse nan, right, they weren't expecting a scouser, right? Because they were in fucking leafy North London in Stanmore.
Right.
And she's just given them the right fucking scouse doorstep treatment and gone, "Arnie, fuck off, you fucking pervert priests. He don't want you rotten skull anyway, he's never coming back." And he was cowering in his bedroom listening to this. And she came in and she said, "Them priests around." And he went, "I heard, yeah." And she went, "Don't worry, you don't have to go back to that school. You can get a job if you want. I don't care about the academic stuff. I only care about your emotional well-being." That's what she said to him, apparently.
Oh, that's nice. That's good.
Well, she says that, but she'd let him go to a fucking preschool where he'd been battered and probably nonced for the last five years.
Yeah, but there might not have been any other options.
No, there probably weren't. No.
Got him a job, got him a milk round or something the following Monday.
Anyway,
everything was all right.
I forgot to tell you this, but in the same meeting where I bumped into, because I literally just bumped into my uncle and he told me that and a couple of other things, but then he power played me. Do you know what he said? He went,
"What?"
It was the middle of the day when I bumped into him, right? So he was sort of being a bit judgy, like, "What are you doing just hanging around in the middle of the day?" I was with my kids. "Well, what do you do with your life now, right?" And I went, what do you mean by that? And he went, well, have you got a job? Do you work? I said, Paul, I'm fucking 47. Don't talk to me like I'm some fucking school leaver, right? And he went, I said, yeah, I do this and that. I thought, I'm not going to fucking justify it to you, right? And he went, yeah. You know what he said? He went, oh, yes. And the, I know, I heard you've got this act. He meant me and you. But he said it really sneeringly, like we were the crankies. And, I mean, I know you've got your act, but do you have a job? Do you have a job?
Yeah. Fuck. I hear you're in the variety halls now.
That's what his implication was. It's a terrible shame. We had such high hopes for you. Fucking hell, I couldn't believe it. Well, I tell you this much, Cam. I ain't fucking self-published a book recently about entitled An Unqualified Success, which is what he called him, what he called his own book.
An Unqualified Success?
Yeah, because he left school, he didn't have any qualifications. You know, he grew up on a council estate, left school for him, booted out by the priests. But then he went on to, he did have a successful career in the advertising industry and he made a few quid. But and so he's proud of himself because he was from humble beginnings and didn't have an education. But then in his retirement, he thought, fuck this. I'm going to write a fucking book about it, publish it myself, and I'm going to call it An Unqualified Success, you cunt.
Is it diveable?
Oh, it's very diveable. I must admit, I read it, which no one else in my family did, because I thought, if he's gone to the fucking trouble of writing it, and he's my uncle, and he's written this exhaustive fucking story of his life, I'm going to fucking read it, because...
Of course, yeah.
I feel almost obliged to. Do you know what I mean? Mm. But in my family, as I told you, no one will ever praise you or even acknowledge anything that you do. And I knew, I've published fucking books before, no cunt will even fucking turn up to my launch party, let alone say, well done, right? So I felt that, and I thought, I'm going to read this book. So I read it, and I did send him a message and say I really enjoyed it, and it was quite moving for me to learn some things about your life that I never knew, right?
Mm.
And he said that when he got the email, he cried. And and I was delighted by that I had made him cry. And he went, it was so nice, and I know, you know, you write for a living, blah, blah. But then when I bumped into him the other day, when he power played me by referring to my act, right?
Your act.
It's not an act. It's actually a podcast, uncle.
Well, it's just an audio version of fucking self-publishing, actually, pal.
Yeah. The difference is we've got an audience and we earn money out of it, right?
Yeah.
And he goes, and he went, yeah. And then I said, I've done a new book. And he went, huh, no one ever read my book. And I said, I fucking did. And he went, did you? And I went, did I? I fucking wrote you a long email and you cried, you cunt. And he went, oh, I don't remember that. Fucking I mean, mind you, he is pretty old, so.
Yeah, fair enough. We'll let him
off. Mean, I'm painting a picture of a man who's 50% all right and 50% a cunt. And that's basically an accurate picture. So,
yeah. Well, we've come full circle, haven't we? We talked about us being cunts at the beginning of this, and now here we are.
Yeah.
We'll leave it there. Next time, Jeanette will be discovered by an impresario called Ron. She will buy herself a rabbit fur coat for £30.
Whoa,
which I imagine in today's money is about £9,000.
Yeah, I would think so.
But I'll work that out. Back with more next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye, everyone.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.